Hello, and welcome to The Raw Bar. I'm Goddess Cecilia, pleasure educator and consultant, and I will be your host. I've invited my friends and colleagues to sit, snack, get real, and probably a little salty about sexuality and pleasure. We've also saved a seat for you. And because of the nature of this podcast, we want to make sure that you're aware that there will be conversations about sexuality, sexual acts, probably some spicy language, and a bunch of other things that are definitely not appropriate for younger ears. So give yourself some solo time if you can. Grab a drink like tea, wine, water, or boba. Don't forget your snackies. Ease in and get comfy. Here's to a pleasurable time together. This season of Raw Bar with Goddess Cecilia is brought to you by MysteryPleasureBox.com. Surprise yourself with a subscription to MysteryPleasureBox.com, a fun and affordable way to discover new sex toys and novelty products every month, billed and delivered discreetly. You get an arsenal of potions, lotions, sex toys, and bedroom accessories picked by industry experts. Every box you receive is packed with high-quality, full-size, brand-name products from brands you know and love. So sign up at MysteryPleasureBox.com and use code GODDESS for 10% off your first box. Hello, everybody. So, folks, this amazing human is Talia Kochia Kingston. Talia Kochia Kingston is a mom, small business owner, and nomad that currently travels the country in a 40-foot-long school bus, otherwise known as a schoolie with a K, that herself and her husband converted to a home. While she worked directly person-to-person selling adult novelties for over a decade, currently her focus is on creating pieces of art that highlight fat acceptance and sex positivity. And I have one of your pieces of art right behind me. I was like, oh my God, I gotta plug it in. It's always behind me in all my lives, but only for special occasions. So I turn it on.
Representation and branding is so important. So
absolutely.
The tale is you, baby.
That's right. People love it. People have loved it. And I know that there are people who are going to be contacting you if they haven't already. So quick background. Lily and I work for the same company doing the like sex toy party thing. And I honestly don't remember when I first really, get to meet you when we went to Vegas?
Yeah, that was like the first connection we made. When we went to see Twista, remember?
Yeah.
He came down the stairs, and I was singing Overnight Tragedy, and he, like, rubbed his hand down my arm. God. Yeah. And I was like, yeah! And no one wanted to do anything. And Cece was down to hang out and have fun. So that's what we've been doing since then, right?
Basically. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Holy moly. And it was one of those things where, like, originally we were supposed to go to Mexico, wasn't it? Like, the trip was supposed to go somewhere else, and then it got switched to Vegas. And now that week was the week that I learned that a week in Vegas is a long fucking time.
Yeah, 3 days is the max.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Your body can only survive on adrenaline and lack of sleep for so long.
And buffet food. Oh, yeah. Lord. Oh, my God.
We had so much fun.
It was a really great trip. It was lovely. And that year, I feel like, also, on a personal note, signified like that year was a year of change and upheaval like no other for me personally. That was the year I had broken up with a boyfriend that we were like living together. It was an awful situation. That was the year that I also decided to like up the ante on flirting with my current partner.
I remember this all so clearly because I think that happened around the time that y'all were splitting. And my gosh. But yeah.
Oh my God.
I've been here since the beginning of you and Andrew.
You really have.
I love you both so much. You guys are amazing.
There's a lot that's happened. since then. But let's start from the beginning, right? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'd love to because this is just how we roll, but yeah. What is your sex ed/sex retail origin story.
So in 2007, I was working at a popular plus size clothing retailer, and this human had come up to check out, and they were wearing a condom tote bag with 50 removable condoms in it. I was like, for the hoe on the go. And so I was like, wow, what is that? Can you tell me more about this? Can you tell me more about yourself? Like, what is going on? So she explained that she did in-home parties and work with people to talk about their sex lives and help lift them up and give them education. So within 1 month, I hosted my first party. And then in the first year, I decided that I needed to do this and make a difference in people's lives. Because I also honestly remember like older women telling me like, oh, don't use that toy. You don't know what G-spot is. You're not going to need that. And I'm like, no, I want to get out there and put positive information into the world. So I started selling with the same company as you did. And it was great. It was great. But yeah, so that's where it started for me personally. And then just making those connections, I just kept wanting to learn and grow and strive and make an impact on others and normalize the conversation about being sex positive.
So. And you were, you were a master at that. Like the amount of people in the time that I was working at the office, the amount of people who were like, oh my gosh, like Talia was my person and she was like amazing and all this stuff. But when you moved away specifically, and I was like, she's got like a whole lineage here. It's fine. I'm not going to get into it. But like people would sing your praises. And then there were a couple times where I feel like there were like a couple of random connections on Facebook. I don't even know like how and when that would happen, but there would be this like, oh my God, like you know each other. Ah, people would love it. People would really love it.
I am so grateful for that time.
Yeah. How would you stay doing that? Because I know you're stepping away from it. It's not like your bread and butter. How has doing that kind of work impacted who you are today? And actually, like, what was it like getting started with the people that you knew, like, were people like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Dildos? I don't know.
When I started, I was 18.
Right.
There was not really any education. Everyone was having sex and no one was talking about it. So what's interesting is I learned from a variety of people in all age groups. I remember the first party I shadowed at. There was a 70-year-old woman who rubbed nipple nibblers on her nipples and ripped her shirt up. And was like, is it working? I really learned the power in open and honest communication and hearing from so many clients, like no matter what the age range was, that no relationship is a one size fits all, even the relationship you have with yourself. So I think that the empowerment is really different for every person. And that's what I learned to be open and listen to other people's needs and be able to take that and listen to my clients and what they were really looking for and just share an experience with them, because we went from people that literally knew nothing about sex or just this is what it is, all the way up to people that were more well-versed in the spectrum of it all. So I'm grateful for all those interactions because I can carry those with me no matter what I'm doing in this world.
And I feel like, I just want to say, it's so, you bring out like a really good point, which is the fact that even though you're in a retail position, you really focused on the client and like what their needs were, as opposed to being like, here's a host of, and I'm about to be a little bit shady here, slash petty, here's a host of potential problems that you probably have with yourself. Let me cater to those problems to try to sell you something to make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. And that's why I've stepped away from it, because of the capitalistic part of it. I really don't want to sit in a room with, I'd rather have one-on-one conversations. It really was the party aspect that I found to be draining, because I really couldn't always give people what I really needed to, and I didn't do anything less than 100%. So for me, it was like I really appreciated that chapter in my life and everything I learned and the experiences. But at the end of the day, like we have to move away from what no longer serves us. And I would like to do that maybe eventually in a one-to-one interpersonal setting versus in the place where you have people that are less comfortable. We always strive to create an environment that's welcoming. But yeah, I just didn't feel whole anymore selling products, taking people's money. I know that it's a service and I help people, but yeah, it was just time for me to move past that and take those experiences and share them in my daily life and just create art now that emulates what I've learned. So yeah.
But I think that's so important too, because I feel, and I know I do this, and I know Andrew does this too. There's this feeling of this was part of my identity for so long, right? This was part of my identity for so long. And like having to give something up, or not necessarily give something up, but even recognize that like, you're just a different person. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, change is the most constant thing.
I'm 33 years old. I'm not the same woman I was when I was 19. And I always thought it would be a part of me. But in time, I just felt it slipping away more and more. And I miss these great conversations. That's why I'm so happy that you asked me to be part of the Raw Bar and honored. And I want to keep inspiring people just in a different way. So when they see something that I offer, I want them to feel inspired by it. But I'm always here for my friends too. And I want to continue my own education, but that's part of the growth. Like, we accept that growth is not always linear and things change and look differently. And that's part of accepting that is the process, right? So,
yes. Part of accepting that is a process, not the easiest. But definitely part of it. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's be real, right? Like, that shit's hard. We're not saying that this is like an overnight situation.
No.
Here's my transition here. Much like turning a school bus into a home. Yeah. It's not an overnight thing.
No, it is not. Blood, sweat, and tears went into this. And discovering who I really am. So that's a huge part of it. I can't help people if I can't help myself. And right now, that's what I've been focused on, figure out what works in my life. So
I'm
really happy about that.
I love it. So what was the thing that was just like, we got to do this. We got to get this bus and we got to live on the road. And
I'm going to sound like a crunchy hippie, but it was honestly like breaking free from the mold that society creates for us. Andy was working 60 hours a week for a lifestyle we didn't really need. We were really tired of like competition and keeping up with the Joneses. And we weren't really like living life, to be completely honest with you. We were paying $4,000 a month for rent in California for a 3,000 square foot house with 3 bathrooms. And it just like, is our whole point in life for him to work and me to clean. We wanted to explore the country and also to see how beautifully different and varied life could be outside of our bubble, right? Mm-hmm. I create this echo chamber of people that have like-minded opinions than you. And we just wanted to experience something different. So we definitely have been. And it's been amazing, beautiful experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if you saw the title of the episode, but I called this From Rhode Island to the Open Road.
Oh,
once in a while, I'm pretty clever, so there's that. But one of the things that I hear about Rhode Island, or at least I heard about Rhode Island when people were talking about the census, was that apparently Rhode Island is a literal, like, mini version of the U.S. in a way, which I thought was fascinating. I was like, really? That a lot of the numbers coincide with each other, interestingly enough. So they do a lot of the I don't know what you'd call it, like the preliminary census taking in Providence and in Rhode Island, just to like.
That's so interesting. I've always felt like my home was like a melting pot of different things, experiences, cultures. That's what I thought until I really went out in the world. Honestly, if you are craving change, you really want to experience difference in your life, in your world, just get out there and see. Because I'll tell you, things do not move the same way in Portland as they do in St. Pete and in Atlanta to San Francisco, I remember the differences just from when I moved from Atlanta to San Francisco, and then, excuse me, going back to visit Atlanta and some being on an elevator and someone saying, "Hi, how's your day?" And I'm like staring at them, like, and I'm like, "I'm sorry, I moved away from here and I forget people like communicate here." And so it's just interesting because there is certain socioeconomic, cultural. If you stay in one place your whole life, you really don't see this. But when you travel everywhere, it's like very clear that things are not the same everywhere you go. Yeah. And I just love that experience. It just, it gives us a different view on things. Yeah. Kind of a new lease on life.
I have to say though, Talia, that you as a human have always been very good about that, right? Like, you've been very good about being open to a different perspective and being very open to being more about how other people think and like how other people live. And so as much as that's a thing that you can learn on the open road, I have to give you credit because that's something that is like very, I don't think that comes naturally for a lot of people.
I had good people teaching me when I needed help understanding things. Your labor of love does never not go unnoticed. But yeah, I'm always open to learning and understanding that when presented with new information, changing my response, outcome, or opinion on things. So yeah, I don't want to stay sheltered in my little, just, I don't know, existence, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
And I want that for my child too. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. So what were some more lessons that you learned, especially because you went, not in the bus necessarily, but you went from Atlanta to the Bay Area in California and then drove a whole bus across the country. And now you're basically on the West Coast again. Like, you've made a full circle, like, which is like amazing to me. Like, what were some of the lessons that you learned in that process?
Yeah, when we, first of all, when we built this bus, it took us a year, blood, sweat, and tears. But we knew that was waiting at the other side for us. So when we left California, we came up across all the northern states, down the whole East Coast and back across. And what we really learned is that our home is wherever our little unit is. I don't really need much in this world. The other things that we learned is that community can be created no matter where you are, when you meet people who share similar interests, and that there are so many good and amazing people, honestly, that live outside the bubble, like I was saying. So I think it's just, sorry, there's so many big trucks pulling in. But yeah, that community can be created everywhere as long as you're open to it. And we just talked about that, but that's really the biggest lesson for me is that, you know, there is effort involved, but I think that you're going to find people that share similar interests or parents or nomadic folks or people that are sex positive and fat accepting, whatever it is, like, you can really find and create community everywhere, especially when you look outside of just the small bubble that you've created. So I think it's more about exploring. Like, that's my message to get across, being open and exploring is really my takeaways from being on the road. Building this bus, though, I learned that you have to bend so you don't break. And living in the bus, it's like a boat. Everything is just fix or repair or do one little touch up. So it's like life too, like not letting stuff get too far away from me and just not taking anything too serious. Like, everything's going to be okay. If I can do this and survive this, I've survived 100% of the experiences I've tried so far. So let's keep trying new stuff.
I know, right? And I have to admit, I've been on the bus. And so has Sol still loves the bus. Like, he knows exactly who you are.
Oh.
He remembers your names. And if I like, when I told him that I sent the picture to you the other day, he was like you could see in his head him like being in the bus again and like being with you and Andy and Pat. Like, you could see that he was like, oh yeah, I remember Tita Talia.
Oh, I'm gonna have to print his picture and put it on here. And then send it to you so you can show him he's always with me on the
bus. And I mean, like, the bus is a freaking dream. Like, it is a dream. It is beautifully, like, you have some essentially like professional designers and like folks working on this between you and Andy. Y'all could really do this for like just write shit down for people and let them do the work. But like, it's, you can see, even if those of you who are watching this can see a little bit of the like wallpaper that you chose behind you. The toilet. As someone who is very much very particular about my toilet habits, that is a very nice toilet. The countertops are amazing. The fridge, like everything is so well done. Like you would think that it's not possible to live in such a comfort, in such a comfortable way. So many people wouldn't think that, I feel like, but like, it's amazing what you're able to do and accomplish in this bus.
Right. Thank you. I built it with a fat body in mind, and I wanted to be transitionally as comfortable as possible. So to me, this is exactly like my traditional home. It just happens to have wheels. So like, to get hot water, I literally turn the switch on. I have a California King mattress in here. So it's not missing any comforts or amenities that I think my backyard is wherever we pull the bus up. So it's amazing.
Oh, I love it so much. And I have to ask because I'm nosy. And I'm sure people many people have asked this question already, but I'm going to do it because I can. What is sex like on the bus? And knowing that, you know, you have a child. How old is Pazzy now? Oh, my God.
Eight. I know.
Excuse me while I freak out. It's not like I didn't know that when it was his birthday earlier this year, but I just forgot.
Reality of it.
Oh, my God. It's fine. It's fine. I don't feel old, really. I just feel like, where is and what is time? But, like, he does obviously live on the bus as well.
No way.
And so, yeah, like, what are the mechanics? Like, how does it work? Feel free to say as much or as little as you want.
Everyone asks us this question, or anyone that's close to us is always intrigued, like, how you guys get down on the get down. Do you have privacy? And the answer is yes. It's amazing. So the way we built the bus, like I said, we made it for like us in mind. So there are two doors and a fan, and then a third door between my bedroom and my son's bedroom. And so it's really like a traditional home. It's like, we created like a sound chamber. You cannot, if Andy was in the back right now, he literally couldn't hear me talking at all. So we created this different section. So the kitchen and the couch living space is a section. Pasquale has his own room. Then there's a bathroom dividing us, and then our bedroom. So it's really no difference from a traditional home with living on the bus. I'm like, this is like my coming out moment. I don't keep my stuff to me, baby. That's fine. But we've been working on deconstructing all the societal standards from our life, when it includes our sex life as well. So we like also have found different experiences where one of us will step out or have a partner back here. We practice relationship anarchy, and we're currently ethically non-monogamous. So I want to talk about that for a minute since we're talking about
sex. Yes.
We're here for. So to us, that means exploring without fear or judgment or retaliation from each other in a safe space. It means that we'd be able to, again, discover more of what works for us. So people talk about being poly or what that looks like. And for us, that title didn't really fit. And what relationship anarchy is like, practicing consent and openness and honesty rather than, there's also, I'm not going to go into the whole dichotomy of it, but
sure.
Also relationship hierarchy in a lot of polyamory. We don't practice that either. We believe that all relationships, including platonic, romantic, or sexual ones, should be created and treated equally. So I don't necessarily put Andy's needs over your needs just because he's the partner I currently cohabitate with. So we're exploring so many levels of this, but we're rejecting the rules now. We're and expectations, like, just of society and only going by the ones of the people that we're partnered with or playing with and things like that. So yeah, if anything, it's more open. My child's always going to be protected and safe, but yeah, we're just experiencing life as a whole, but done subscribing to the relationship escalator. That's what they call it. So yeah. The expectation that casual sex will lead to more serious dating, which would turn to marriage and babies. I've done that. Right. We've done that. And we're pretty like free and whole and confident. We're free to allocate our time how we want. And it's been working. It's great. It's awesome. So I'm really happy with our sex life on the bus, outside of the bus.
I love that. But we've talked a little bit about the relationship escalator on this podcast before. One of my other guests have talked, or I feel like actually several of my guests have talked about this. And like, when I look back at all my relationships, it's one of those things where you're just like, oh yeah, that's exactly what we did. But there's like the dating, and then are we serious? And then what does that, there's a continuous level up to, and that's supposed to lead somewhere, right? Like an escalator just doesn't go nowhere. Like it's supposed to lead somewhere. And like that in and of itself is such a patriarchal
skewed way of thinking.
Right. And absolutely, like it works for some people. Not saying don't ever do it, but also be aware of the fact that there's like a history behind that. And what is the purpose of having to lead to somewhere? And is it possible for people to, and the answer is really yes, is it possible for people to not have these expectations on themselves and on each other, to just leave themselves more open to possibility?
I think it changes your viewpoint. So one, I feel like I'm a better partner now, because the way I think about it and experience things is like, I am more supportive, right? Because it's like with the escalator also comes the idea that being in a partnership or relationship with someone equals ownership. And so we're disavowing that and letting it go. And it's really about any individual that's allowed me the privilege into their life, supporting them, realizing their potential and my own. Like, I have no expectation. So that's interesting, because like sometimes I've been like, oh, like that whole, if he wanted to, he would. That's honestly toxic thinking. Yeah. Like, actually, I don't have ownership of that person. They have their own autonomy, and everyone is free to just let go of those things. So if someone, I got a job offer halfway in the world, I'm like, hell yeah, go for it. Or I want a backpack. Please send me pictures. I'll be here when you come back, and please live your life. I don't see any need to hold on to anything or anyone so tightly, because that's not right. And we have all this expectation, like people just want to advance things because in their head it's ingrained that if someone cares about me, this is the next thing we need to do. And to be quite honest, bullshit. And it's just what we're presented over and over again, and we keep choosing that option. And what I realize now is that my partnerships are sweeter. It's really allowing the space to blossom and grow and live in just trust, and it's creating healthy bonds rather than insecure attachments. Like, we're doing secure attachments around here. Like, we are blossoming, we're growing, and just enjoying life. So yeah, that's where I'm at with it right now. I'm not an expert. I'm just letting things come as they do, and just enjoying life. Yeah, but being a relationship anarchist is, I don't need a title, or I don't need to be solid in this way for it to mean great things. I'm just disavowing all the shit that doesn't work anymore in my life.
Oh boy, let me tell you. I just finished watching, oh my God, I just finished watching The Ultimatum. Because I like to torture myself with people's ridiculous stories. And because I don't usually get involved in people's dramas like that. And I feel like it was partially like, I need to be able to talk about this, right? In my work, I need to be able to talk about this. So maybe I should put Netflix, all the times that I use Netflix for work, in my tax paperwork next year. But the, oh my God, that show was like the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's just Live and Let Live. It's easy to watch when you're in it, but it just promotes more of like negative and toxic relationships. And if someone's unhappy, like, that's the thing. We're always open for communication. When people feel like they're strung on to something, like, why the hell would I want to be in a relationship with someone that has that type of pressure? Just, again, based on society, I need to be married, I need to do this. Andy and I waited how many years?
Oh my gosh, so 13, many years.
13 years before we got married. And then 6 months later, decided we wanted to be... relationship anarchist,
which like theoretically y'all were already, because yeah. Like you were very already like non-traditional with it, right? Like y'all had Pazzy and people were like, when are you gonna get married, when are you getting married, which is like the most ridiculous thing in the world, but that is exactly what happened. And then y'all got married and then you were like, okay, it's good for some things, right? Like legal things and whatever, like medical things, I don't know. But
that was the moment we decided to get married. Andy went to the hospital, and he, not because we don't love each other, it just because to us it's always been a piece of paper, but he went to the hospital and he needed like to get, what was it, like 4 bags of fluids. He was so sick. And it's like the idea of someone telling me that I wouldn't be able to advocate for my partner's life and well-being after spending 13 years with him, and then our favorite band got back together after 10 years and we just said, the timing is right. Let's go.
Yeah. And it was a wonderful wedding. Man, did I call it. I called it. I just want to, for the internet record, when she told me, hey, can you set this date aside? Get a babysitter. I looked at Andrew and I said,
they're doing it.
I know what's happening.
Oh my God. You're the best. You're always there for me. I appreciate you so much.
It was amazing. It was such a fun night too.
Let's take a quick break. Check in with your body. What do you need? Do you need to stretch? Do you need to use the restroom? Do you need some extra water? Do whatever you need to take care of you, and we'll be right back. If you're enjoying the Raw Bar podcast and you're wanting to learn a little bit more about specific sexuality topics, check out my Dive Deeper series on YouTube. In Dive Deeper with Goddess Cecilia, I touch on specific topics like waterproof adult toys, self-pleasure health benefits, and postpartum depression. It's the same sassy me, but in video format. And I do it all while wearing a mermaid tail. Sometimes I'm on location at a tropical destination, and sometimes I'm sitting on my seashell throne. As your pleasure guide, this is a personal invitation to you to explore all the ebbs and flows of pleasure and self-care. It's my honor to bring a little whimsy and magic to a topic that has historically been so taboo. A new Dive Deeper drops monthly on YouTube, so make sure you search for Dive Deeper with Goddess Cecilia and subscribe.
So, like, in all of the things that you, and in all the ways that you present to the world, I feel like one of the words that has always come up for me when I think about you, actually it's two words, I know how to count, is to be like unapologetically authentic. Like, you've always been that way, right? And at least that's how I've always felt. You might be like, that's not true. I wasn't always this way. I had to be a little like little caterpillar and then I bloomed into a butterfly or whatever. But that's how you've always presented to me. So I feel in all of the things that you've done, from doing the sex toy party retail stuff to the like art that you're creating now, to being on the road, being a parent, being a partner, all of that, it has just always been who you were. So what does that mean to you, though? That's how I view you, but what does that mean to you to be unapologetically authentic?
So when I first read those words together, I was like, dang, am I though? Because I'm not harsh. I don't want to be harsh. I don't unapologetically mean to me without consideration of others, but actually this isn't about other people. It's about being authentic to me. It's not that I am without consideration for others. And I'm like, you know what? This is a good point, because when I was living life out of alignment with my morals, it was painful. It was painful. I am who I am. I embrace all parts of myself and understand that there's always room for growth. But like loving myself and the journey to self-expression and loving my body and telling other people it's okay to love their bodies and exist exactly how they are right now. I think that's where it really started for me, like acceptance of my body and then my mind. And then now I'm just enjoying all parts of that. But when you become more like everyone else, you lose yourself. And that's just not something that I'm willing to do anymore. So that's what that means to me, like living in authenticity. I'm no longer like holding myself back. I'm honoring myself. And when I'm also like authentic to myself, it gives me space to honor others as well in their authenticity. So people aren't in line with my mission, my vision, or my lifestyle aren't going to congregate around me because they don't like that. And for me, I don't have to waste my energy anymore assimilating with people who don't care about or respect my autonomy. And I think that goes in this world right now, right? We're talking about autonomy. We're talking about rights. And like the only thing I have is my own body and my own mind and my own spirit. That's what I'm given. And yeah, that's what I guess I would say, that being authentic, it's about honoring myself, my sense of self. And that's what I'm not going to give up for anyone else anymore.
Love it. What was it like getting to that place? Because you're saying like it started with really loving your body. Like that whole journey, I feel like, can be like difficult because we get messages all the fucking time, right? You're not supposed to look this way. You're not supposed to behave this way. You're not supposed to do all this stuff that might actually make you as an individual. Right. You're not supposed to exist. Oh my God. You're not supposed to have any, God, speaking of the current stuff, you're not even supposed to have control over whether or not you can carry a baby. Dear goodness. Yeah. So what was that journey like for you?
I'm not going to sit here and say that every day is easy, right? That just doesn't exist. But it's a hell of a lot more work trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. When I'm fighting to fit in with people that aren't living in alignment with me, when I'm not living authentically to myself, it's so much more work. So right now, yeah, doing the work is hard on myself. But also being someone I'm not is harder to fit in with society's standards, like covering up my curves or my belly, like worrying what other people are thinking about when they watch me eat a meal, like me going on the internet and talking about what my sex life is like and the fact that I'm a mom, because those things can't simultaneously exist. Like all those thoughts sit in the back of your head and really say no to those things. It took a lot of confidence building, but each time I acted in alignment with my true self, it reinforced that I was on the right steps, taking the right journey towards the life I wanted and the person I really am. So of course, there's times that I want to like friggin' pacify my needs because it's the path of least resistance, or doubted it and let others' expectations of me just control who I thought I was. I don't participate in those scenarios anymore. So I do what makes my soul happy. And when I embrace myself, I let go of the need for everyone else to accept me, and I accept me. So again, it's just about acceptance, sitting back, enjoying the ride. And if I need to advocate for myself, I absolutely and certainly will, but I'm done. I'm done pacifying for other people. So that's, I feel like, what it looked like for me. Stop letting the negative thoughts and naysayers get to me and just be true and genuine. That's what I'm trying to do. Just live to my most authentic self, not hide pleasure because it feels good, or the fact that we expect one person to meet all of our needs when the only person that can meet our needs is ourselves, or just continuing following and doing exactly as what you're told. Like, those are things I've disavowed, and now I can breathe. I can just breathe.
Oh my gosh. Do you think that, this is a question that I just thought about asking just now, but do you think that, or did you notice any shifts when you became a parent? Like, timeline wise?
Honestly, it was way worse. It was way worse because it was breastfeeding versus bottle feeding and not feeling like enough. And I carry my baby versus I put my baby in a stroller and bed sharing versus co-sleeping and all those things. And as my son started to grow as a human, he totally reinforced that the way that I was raising him was complete and whole, because my son says things that check me. He is so aware of everything, and I don't put pressure on him to be a certain type of person. Why did I put all that pressure on myself as a new parent?
Yeah.
Where was someone saying, just be a parent, take care of your child, don't worry about any of the other shit? And I really think that's where Keeping Up with the Joneses really started. I need to have this stroller and this baby carrier. And honestly, it's a never-ending cycle of what are we doing for our kids that someone else is or isn't doing. And being in the bus, like I said, has just allowed me that freedom because I meet people from all different walks of life. Like, this has been my key to freedom. So I just don't care anymore. Like, I'm happy and that's all that matters. But yeah, meeting people that raise their children differently and people that homeschool, people that do learning in nature, people that do radical unschooling. And I'm like, that's great for you. I'm going to do what works for me. More. I need to do that because it works in someone else's life. Like, I think being a parent really was like the hardest transition for me because I cared so much about what other people thought. And in the end, it's all that matters is what works for my family.
Oh my God. Talia, that's never actually occurred to me. The question, like, has he schooling? I'm like, what? That's literally never. For anyone who's wondering, there's definitely no doubt that this kid is learning a lot. He is such a smart, brilliant child. I'm a little bit like, whoa.
He literally reads on
prepared for thinking about that.
He literally reads on an eighth grade reading level. He's super intelligent. He's not just school and book wise intelligent. I'm teaching him Common Core right now. So we do some school. Because if we ever want to go back, like, I want him to understand I'm learning Common Core and teaching him Common Core at the same time. So see, I've got to be open and flexible.
I'm not prepared. I'm basically like, look, child, when you're in school and it's math, I'm not your parent.
But the things that he was learning in school were not real world. Like, I remember sending him to school in Georgia and they were just, again, more affirming, like, the gender and social constructs. Mm-hmm. He couldn't play with the dolls because only girls play with dolls. He couldn't go in the kitchen because only girls play in the kitchen. He had to read Spider-Man books and he couldn't do this. So like, my kid knows how to forage for mushrooms and which ones are good. He knows how to identify paws in the ground, but he also can count and do math and do all this. So it's like balance, right? Life is about balance. I'm not an extremist. I think my kid needs and deserves an education, but yeah, we do homeschooling and
but not for nothing. Like, we're acting like the education system as it exists in the United States is actually
it's good.
Let's think about that for a second. Yeah,
and enforces just like all the systems put in a place, especially to oppress brown and black people. And yeah, we can go on forever. But now my kid worries about his maybe 2 hours a day of school and then play and enjoying and just allowing himself to grow with his imagination. And we go in rivers, we identify fish, we hunt for gators, obviously, like with our eyeballs. Like, we're in Florida and we're learning about manatees that they're going. So when we go on a nature walk, they have all like the bulletins, we read them all, we scan the QR code. So it's in the world as well, instead of forcing him to be obedient and sit in a seat for 8 hours for glorified babies. Not saying teachers aren't amazing, but ultimately one teacher with 26 kids, how can kids, especially those that are learning at different paces, really blossom and bloom?
And we already know that teachers are struggling, right? Like, teachers have so much brilliant stuff that they want to bring to their kids and they're not able to because they have to manage a classroom instead of teach to students.
Right. And that's, they're not glorified babysitters, but that's how they're treated by parents because childcare doesn't exist in this world. There's not enough of it. There's just not, and we're expected to all work 40 and 60 hours a week and be productive members of society and just all these things that don't actually nurture you to be a person in this world that is living in their own existence, which is drilled into your head.
A friend posted, or they shared in their Instagram stories earlier today, like a picture of some sort of thank you card with a Dunkin' Donut gift certificate. And I messaged them and I was like, Dunkin' Donuts, the official sponsor of, we clearly cannot pay you your actual worth, but here's some donuts.
Yeah.
Here's some donuts and coffee.
That's what I used to say about Andy being at work every year. It's like, they send a customer an appreciation, employee appreciation day, and it's a box of cookies. And it's honestly, send me the $50 it costs for these cookies because it ain't enough.
That's cute. And also,
thanks.
Instead of actually focusing on this like little prize, like maybe just figure out how to increase our wages.
Help with childcare, help with something.
Right.
Yeah, you're just, the world wants to create more drones. And that's why I was like, some of my stances, I sound very cringy granola bus lady. But I just think I'm about, like, again, respecting autonomy. And I'm so done in being in survival mode, right? Like, I'm over it. I'm over being overworked and underpaid. And I'm a white woman in America. So I can't imagine for marginalized folks how that must feel. And it's kind of like part of being in the bus too. It's like a protest. I'm not going to pay more people that pay the $4,000 a month rent. It's like the more the prices will go up because someone can do it. There are so many, I think there's over 300,000 houses in San Francisco proper alone that are completely empty because landlords refuse to open them up for other reasons or lower the prices. They'd rather just let it sit there. And that's why folks being unhoused is such a problem. And this is my protest against that. Like, I'm not going to give in and pay the price that it costs for a roof over my head. Like, now I'm-
and the fact that you all are able to build a home in a moving vehicle in a relatively, how many square feet is it exactly?
280.
In like the space that is like, it's still extremely accommodating, yet the government can't figure out how to provide something even that size for a family.
That's because people that are unhoused are used as a tool and a weapon.
That's the truth.
For political gain and all of that. It's like how we've been talking about what's going on right now. It's like, no matter the party, they don't care about the people. They care about winning. And I don't want to play the game anymore. So I'm glad that I'm into it now instead of at 70 or 80 when I don't have as much ability to do what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
You're the best.
All right. Last question, my friend. What are you currently finding pleasure in this moment?
Life on the open road. We have been traveling for a week straight, getting back across the country. My kids laugh. I really thought about this. Like, hearing him laugh, best. Cooking a meal for people that I love and sharing that with my friends. Learning about cultural differences and similarities. Being loved without expectation and doing the same. Foraging for mushrooms. I always thought I was a city person. Like, no one could ever tell me I wasn't walking out of my apartment and walking to Whole Foods to have a beer and listen to music. But then again, that's also what's drilled into us, right? It's tough being a mom, so I need to go have a brew. Yeah, there are days that are tough, but again, it's like mama needs her glass of wine. So foraging for mushrooms, watching the sunset, thrifting for leisure pants, spending time with my friends, and mostly enjoying the journey rather than anticipating the destination.
Oh yes, more of that in one's life. So, especially the enjoying the journey part. And I know I do this too, because that's just like how it's hammered into our brains. The end, you got to get to the end. But holy shit, you miss so much. You miss so much if you're not paying attention.
It's like we are forced to be productive. So we want to get to the end result. Think about it in relationships, in our jobs, in our travels, in so many aspects of our life. And sometimes it's about the learning and the seeing and enjoying and being grateful and living in gratitude for what we already have. and all the little pieces that make it up as we get there. So, yes, I just appreciate you. Time with my friends, like a space to actually candidly a conversation, because anytime you put yourself out in the world, you leave yourself open to other people's scrutiny. And at this point, I'm just like, I don't care if what I do works for other people. That's great. And if it doesn't,
right,
it's not their life. So
then people have hopefully just learned something new, and then they can take with it what they want.
Live, laugh, love. You know how that goes.
Is that how you want to end it? Oh God.
No, I'm saying
oh,
I'm gonna laugh at you. That's what's most important.
Too funny. Too funny. Oh, okay. Actually, I do have one. I always forget this last question. If people wanted to stay connected with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, Shop Love Lights is where I make the art. I should have a body positivity line totally coming that I'm going to share within the next, I want to say 2 months. I'm not ready yet. It's not ready, but when it is put into the world, everyone knows Shop Love Lights is where you can see the art that I'm creating. And then by Coastal Bus on Instagram or We Bought a Bus on Facebook, if you want to just follow our journey, ask questions about life on the road or anything for that, both things. But yeah.
Yeah. And folks who are ever curious, if you're like, I kind of want to try this, what do I need to do? Like 100% guaranteed, like Talia and Andy will have some answers.
Yeah, we have this goal. We're going back to California too. We're going to build 4 buses over the next year. So people can be on the lookout for that too. If they're interested in living life, but they don't have the skills to do that. Yeah, that's like our goal. So that's what we're going to do.
Oh my God. I feel like I just got an exclusive. Like, holy shit. So cool.
Yeah.
All right, Talia, that is our time. Holy moly.
1 hour down.
Woo! I know. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me, for always being such a supportive friend, for being like an inspiration to push me out of my own little comfort zone of headaches and and neck pain and shoulder pain. I should sit up straight while I remember to do that.
And I just always want to remind you to, you're your most important person. You're your most important asset. So protect that shit. Protect your energy. Protect your neck, kid. All right. Anyway, let's
look. I know. I feel like I need that to be like an alarm that goes off every once in a while on my phone.
Yeah. It can be so easy to get trapped in this thing.
That is the truth. That is the truth. All right. All right, folks. For those of you who are listening to this later on as a podcast, thank you so much for listening. I'll put all of Talia's info in the description. And yeah, thank you, Talia, for being on the Raw Bar.
You're the best. Thank you so much. And for the honor of allowing me a platform to speak freely with you. I am forever in gratitude for your friendship.
As always, I love you and I appreciate you so much.
Miss you, love you, and appreciate you. You too.
Well, friends, it's time to go our separate ways. I hope you're feeling as satiated and stimulated from today's podcast as I am. Make sure you rate and review today's episode on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Lastly, head over to rawbarpod.com. That's rawbarpod.com to find out how you can connect with my guests and me, and how you can be a part of the Raw Bar Regulars. See you next time.